what we're doing is no small feat.
I found it really hard to like be just a mum.
But we've all forgotten that you're staying at home and teaching a human how to be a human.
It's just me and Jay doing life.
We're all like conditioned to just think that it's just an easy thing to do.
I never imagined meeting somebody that would be able to financially support me.
That paying for the bills and the mortgage is actually cheaper than paying for the kids.
Right, let me justify like what I've done. Like,
there's no just staying at home with Delilah all day.
I don't necessarily enjoy being a mum all of the time.
Technically, this is work.
The point is, I'm more comfortable with it now than I was.
I was surprised how negative people were about my choice to have another child.
First vault disclaimer, as this episode unfortunately contains some audio technical difficulties, but we could not bring you another slice of the realness. After all, this is a real and honest podcast, and my goodness, are we learning as we go. So if you're here for the tea, tune in and enjoy. But if the quality isn't for you this week, then we hope you'll join us again next week. Right, let's get into it.
All right, 6 episodes deep, here we go again. I feel like my all right is very Matthew McConaughey, like, all right.
Is that Matthew McConaughey? How do you say that?
Matthew McConaughey energy. All right. 6 episodes deep.
Yep. Woo-hoo. So glad if you're still here after those. 6 episodes. No, after 5 episodes.
Yeah.
We've made it to 6 episodes. We love that.
That is elite. And if you're not like pressing that follow button yet, if you haven't pressed it and you're just looking at it, press it now. Do it. I dare you. Go for it. Like, come on.
Please.
You know,
yeah.
You need to be subscribed.
I have no shame on begging over this because I feel like, you know, don't be a sideliner. Like, come into the party.
Yeah.
Hit it.
Yeah.
And join the convo. So, yeah, if you're not following us on Instagram or TikTok, whichever one you prefer, please also follow us there because it all just helps it helps us grow, doesn't it? You know, we are doing this to reach people. So what's the point if then we don't reach anyone?
Helps us make us feel spicy. So that's at Voice Note Vault Podcast. If you're not following, just make sure you do it now.
Yes, please. God, what a plug to start the episode 6 with.
I know. We just need more cheerleaders in our squad.
Yeah.
We're just expanding the
We're
squad.
Feeling ballsy, so I guess that's the energy of today. We're feeling ballsy, guys.
Yeah, every week. Ballsy.
Yeah.
Speaking of being ballsy, this week we're talking all things taboos, right?
Mm-hmm. We are indeed.
Okay. So we're going to cover various different taboos that Alexandra and I have navigated since having children or before having children, things around the choice of having a baby, not to have a baby, going to work, not going back to work, and everything in between. So if you're up for some taboos, then stay tuned.
Yeah, but we obviously need to play our game first. It's win or wing of the week.
Okay, so here we are for this week's win and wing of the week. And who's up first this week?
I'll go.
The stage is yours.
Thank you. I am surely going to relate to a lot of mums here. Well, probably dads too.
Okay.
But I'm talking to mums. That's who I talk to on a daily, you know.
yeah.
I've just come out of like a week and a half of being like horrifically unwell. And it was rough. Like, when I tell you it was rough, it was so rough. And I'm not saying like, oh, I'm winging being unwell with a toddler, although that is what I was doing. Because I don't know if you know this or our listeners know this, but I don't really live near my family. So it's just me and Jay doing life and we don't really have like people to call on to help. So obviously you can rely on your friends, and I know my friends would be there and many friends offered to like help, etc. But it's like, oh, I don't want to like put it on my friends. Like, I'm just unwell.
Mm.
But like, I was so unwell. Like, this, I don't know what it was. I'm never like that, but it was so rough.
You were
like,
big.
Yeah, it was so rough. Like, I had to get Jay to work from home on the Friday and I just like basically slept all weekend. And then on the Monday, I had to ask my mum to come from North London, which is a 2-hour journey on like a day. Do you know what I mean? In the middle of the day to actually come and help. And I never, ever, ever asked for help. But like, I had to. Like, I just actually couldn't parent. And I was like, I can't parent, mum. Like, I actually need you to be here. Like, it's not for Master J. So I was just winging it completely. And thankfully, like, she was able to come. And I was really appreciative of that. Appreciative of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, that was just a horrible, you know, nearly 2 weeks. So... oh yeah, ask for help if you need it. Ask for help.
Well, I'm glad you're back, because we had a FaceTime in the middle of the week and you sounded like, I hope you don't mind me saying, you sounded like a dog with a hand. So like, it was not pretty.
No, and I was doing like all the natural remedies. I was on my sea moss, I was on my what do you call it, elderberry, lemon, honey, ginger. I was doing everything, but it was just like so deep rooted. It was just so bad. I don't know. And the thing is, it came from Master J. Like, that little bugger, like, he gave it to me. One day he had a runny nose, he gave it to me. Next day, his writer's reign, and I'm on the floor.
It's always the way. It's Human. Always the way. They bring home all the germs, they smash it like a boss, and then here we are, like, dying over one little cold.
Yeah, like, Master J's ability to, like, you know, comeback season is... I don't know, next level, but mine is not. So yeah, fuming. But anyway, that is my winging of the week. I don't want to make it too morbid, but like, yeah, if you can relate, you can relate.
Well, she's back, she sounds fresh. Yeah, and like she said, ask for help, which I definitely find really hard asking for help, but that's a whole another podcast for a whole another day.
Yeah, what about you?
Okay, so my win this week, and it sounds like a bit of a strange one, but the nursery that Roman goes to, he had a really lovely key worker in his very first class. He started the nursery when he was 10 months. He had the cutest key worker, and we've actually stayed in contact with her since she left the nursery. She's done a bit of babysitting for us.
That's cute.
And she regularly like has a few little play dates, but she came round for dinner maybe last week or the week before, and it was so cute. Roman hasn't seen her for the best part of 6 months, and she walked in the door and he was like, "Daddy!" Like, he was so excited. And so, like, you know when you haven't seen someone for a long time and you see them again, it's like nothing's changed. It was just so nice watching him. Like, he built that bond with her when she was at the nursery. He's kind of kept that bond, sort of, but she usually comes and puts him to bed and then they don't play. So it was just nice to see him and her, like, playing on the floor as if they've been friends.
I swear, children
life.
Just don't forget. Like, I think they feel, if they feel a connection with someone, they don't forget. So like, that's so nice.
That's
and
cute.
So lovely that you were able to, like, have her over.
Yeah, I just, like, I don't know. I just, it just filled my heart with warm, fuzzy feeling.
Love that. Love that. Putting yourself, you know, out there and giving Roman a nice little opportunity for a play date with a long-lost friend.
And then she stayed and ate dinner with us and just waffled about rubbish, so it was very cute.
Love that.
Anyway, that was my win this week.
Right, let's get into it then.
Okay, so taboos is what we said we're discussing today.
Yes.
Do you want to go first? Is any of your taboos?
I think for me, like, I mean, this could be such a wild and varied topic, isn't it? Because there's so many taboos.
We have to make sure we don't go on a tangent today. Let's try and, like,
I'm going to just stick to it. I think, for me, when we decided, like, what we wanted to talk about in this episode, the biggest thing I feel like I faced is making that decision to become a full-time mum. So I was a, like, working career girly, you know, all that vibe, before having Master J, and it was never my intention to become a full-time mum. I always knew, like we've talked about before, I wanted to be a mum, and I'd never maybe thought about the practicalities of that. And, you know, these days, you know, most people do have to navigate working and parenting, and that's incredibly challenging. But I never planned to become a full-time mum. And so prior to becoming pregnant, I'd obviously talked about what I've talked about with you, and I was training as a coach, a transformational coach, and also training as a doula in that time. And I knew that I wanted to pivot. And I always think, you know, I like talking about that time in my life because I was like 30, 31, and I had been in an industry for over 10 years, and I was, you know, quite unhappy in that industry. And so I knew that I wanted to change. And so I had made the decision to start retraining and, you know, change my life, no matter if I was 30 or 31 or whatever, and what society tells you about that age. I was like, yeah, like, I'm going to do it. So I just made sure I had like good savings and I was ready to actually leave my job. But then I became pregnant. So I was like, well, I should probably stay in my job because, you know, maternity leave, like there was no point, you know, not taking that £600 or whatever it was at the time. It wasn't a lot.
That maternity pay.
And so I was like, okay, well, I'm going to stay. And obviously I like did my best and everything there, but probably had, in all honesty, decided I wasn't going back. I was going to focus on my coaching and my doulaing. But then, like, you know, Jay and I had discussions and we said, yeah, that was fine. We'd do that. And, you know, obviously he would be like the main breadwinner and I would focus on raising Master Jay. And I was like, okay, like, cool. I can do that. But like, I was always in my head like, yeah, but I can like do this on the side and, you know, try and get my business up and running. And I think that's the thing is, because I didn't have an established business before having a baby, I had a lot of knowledge and I'd done all of the training and I was on a good path. And I had just started working with people from a doula perspective. Sorry, I had quite a good coaching basis, but I was been coaching and had quite a good client base there. But obviously, once that they come to an end of their course or whatever, you have to find new clients. So it's not like a constant, you know, stream of business. You know, I was trying to find new clients and the pressure I put on myself when I had just become a mum to then build a business as well. Like I found it really hard to like be just a mum. And like in my head, I was just like, no, I'm not just a mum. Like I can't just be just a mum.
But where did that, like, just a mum pressure come from? Yourself, from Jay, from society, from, like, why didn't you find it easy to just be like, yesterday I was Alexandra, the career-driven woman, and today I am wonderful Master Jay's mum, and this is what we're doing going forward. Like, why do you think you found that such a big transition?
I'm naturally a very ambitious and determined person, and it had never been an option for me to just be a mum because I never imagined meeting somebody that would be able to financially support me in that I would have that option. So I'd always, you know, strived. Is that even a word? Strived?
Yeah.
I'd always strived to, you know, do my best in my career. And I'd got to a really good place in the industry that I was working in. But then to kind of make that decision, like I'm going to go it alone and do my own thing, like was obviously really scary, but I'd made sure again, because I was my own independent person, that I'd had like at least 6 months savings. So I knew I could like pay my mortgage and everything like that. But then obviously life changed. And also, so I guess in answer to your question, like the pressure came from myself, but also a lot of my friends are very similar. They're very ambitious. They're very driven. They're always got like, they're quite entrepreneurial, so they've always got like things going on, and I'm like, I love that my friends are like that, and I'm around those women. That then I thought, oh my god, if I'm just a mum, then I'm just a mum. Like I'm not going to be able to like relate to my friends anymore because I'm not now an entrepreneurial, independent woman. I'm a, you know, just a mum, and I'm a kept woman. You know, like again, this is where like the I just wipe bums.
And
then I guess that's where the taboo comes in, isn't it? Of being like a full-time mom is like, you don't have any, you're just happy to be just a mom and you don't have any ambition or like, you know, you're happy to like live off your husband. You don't earn any of your own money. Yeah, it was like really quite a hard, it's quite a hard decision to make.
Pill to swallow.
You know?
Yeah, and I definitely think obviously I'm on maternity leave now, so I do a lot of like coffee dates and mum hangouts and all of those cute things. And I definitely meet a lot of women who, if I meet people in custom and I say, oh, like, what do you up to or what have you been up to? Or they're like, yeah, I'm just a mum. Or like, you know, I just stay at home with Delilah all day. And I'm like, guys, there's no just staying at home with Delilah all day. If you stay at home with a child all day long, and credit to anybody that thinks that they can just sit indoors and watch Waterball Miss Rachel, nah,
it's not that, is it?
Not the reality. No. I mean, some days maybe, but that's not the reality. And so to kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, water down the monumental task of being just a mum is, I can see it, but it's like crazy to think that we're all like conditioned to just think that it's just an easy thing to do, and you're just at home, like making cute biscuits and doing wet play and doing putting cornflakes in water
trays.
I know, it is a whole. I know, but even if you didn't, or even if you did, like being just a mum is extremely hard. And I'm going to share on socials this really interesting, I think I sent it to you, this really interesting Skype conversation between a man and loads of different women and men where he offers them
this job. Oh my gosh, yes, definitely share that. That's a really good thing to share.
We're going to share that. So for anybody that hasn't seen it, it's basically a man doing interviews with maybe 10 different men and women, offering them a job. And he describes the job as a job that's 24 hours a day. You can't eat your lunch until the next
day. No holidays.
You, lunch, you can't sleep.
No sick pay.
No holidays. You can't sleep to your, no sick pay. You can't sleep to your way to sleep. You can't eat when you want to eat. You have to be on call all the time. And all these women and men are like, that's
not
going
to do that.
Who would want to do that? Why on earth? Yeah, there's no pay. There's no progression, career progression. There's no pay increase. And at the end, basically, everybody says, like, what job is this? Like, I don't want that. And it's actually the job of a mum. And it's really interesting to watch when he lays it out in that way, that actually what we're doing is no small feat.
No, it's not. And, I mean, you know, what we're, like, over 2 years into this full-time mum life. And, I mean, it's definitely been, like, a lot of ups and downs on that journey. I felt a lot about, you know, almost like justifying myself to Jay, like, because obviously he's going out to work, he's, you know, up early, home late, working hard, but he makes money, right? I'm up early, I go to bed late, I don't make any money though, and I'm working
hard,
really hard, but I don't make any money. So it's like, okay, right, let me justify like what I've done. Like, you know, I've tidied this, I've cleaned this, I've done dinner, and like, I mean, there was a period when Master Jay was young where I didn't do any of the cooking and I didn't do any of the cleaning because I was surviving that first, you know, year and a half of being a mum and trying to do it full time. It was mind-numbingly boring many times. And you talk about like the coffee dates and all sorts, like, don't get me wrong, I've had lovely coffee dates and things like that, but when I used to go out for coffee, it used to be like, oh my God, I'm going out for like a nice coffee or like a brunch or something. Like, nowadays, every day is a weekend for me. Like, if I want to go for a coffee, and I'm not saying this necessarily in the good way, I'm like, actually, it becomes quite monotonous because there's only so many soft plays and coffee dates and things that you can do before it actually is just a little bit, it is a little bit boring and mundane. And don't get me wrong, like, my attitude now is to find moments of joy in every single day, but not every day is like joyful. And I have talked about on Instagram before, like, I don't necessarily enjoy being a mum all of the time because it is actually my whole personality. Like, because I am
I am a
mum full time, it's all consuming. And then, but it's like, I guess taboos around saying that when other mums have to navigate being a full-time mom, or, you know, because you're, you know, the main parent or something like that, but then they're also going to work. Like, I couldn't imagine doing everything I do but then also going to work. But then obviously some people actually prefer that because they couldn't,
that was like me before I had Renee,
couldn't
swimming in the pool of trying to work and look after her at the
same
time.
Yeah, exactly. But then obviously everybody's day is different and is shaped differently, and some people couldn't think of anything worse than being a full-time mom, you know. But yeah, I guess my point is, it's like, it's been a massive period of adjustment for me, and I really don't think you can compare a full-time mom and a working mom, because I mean, you know you're that person, so we can probably talk about that as well, but it's different challenges, you know, of which, to be fair, unless you've done both, like, you won't fully understand or appreciate the other side, because there are just different challenges to each of those things. Like, a huge one for me being, you know, so financially independent prior to meeting Jay and prior to becoming a full-time mom, to then have such a quick relationship and a quick adjustment period to then being a parent with somebody you've not long really known, you know, reminder, like, we're still not 3 years in yet, and I am 100% financially dependent on my partner. And for some people, they'll be sitting there going, oh my God, girl, like, you don't want that. Like, you know, are you sure? You should maybe have some reserves, you know, things like that.
Mm.
Don't get me wrong.
Where do you get reserves from?
Where's the income coming from, honey?
Unpaid. Where's the reserve?
You can't build up a reserve because unless you're making yourself, which is obviously, like, don't get me wrong. Like I said, periods of time throughout my motherhood journey, I have been doing, like, doulering in terms of online and things like that, so I have made a bit, but I'm not talking thousands and thousands enough for a reserve if my partner and I were no longer together.
And let's get it right, someone has to pay for the coffee and the soft play and the clothes and the socks and the nappies and the cream and the hundreds of things that people just say, oh yeah, like, dad pays for all the, like, mortgage and the bills and I pay for the kids. And actually it never really different for sure, but sometimes that paying for the bills and the mortgage is actually cheaper than paying for the kids,
because
it's soft play every day, it's coffee every day, it's that one snack in the shop, it's the socks that you lost on the way to the soft play, it's the bag that you need, it's the hundreds of other things. And children are cheap, but they're not cheap. And so I think, like you said, you can't compare the two. But interestingly, what I did want to say to you and to anybody that is listening is that whole, Alexandra said, like, Jay goes out to work and gets paid to work really hard, and that you stay at home and, like, keep clean and, like, tidy up, and you work hard but you don't get paid for it. But we've all forgotten that you're staying at home and teaching a human how to be a human. You're spending every day inputting, like, you're doing data entry every day by everything that Jay absorbs. Master Jay absorbs and sees and interacts with and plays with is building him to being a human. So what Jay's doing at work is fantastic, and I'm not bashing what working parents do, but let's have it right. You're moulding Master Jay into the person he's going to be. So arguably, you're doing a bigger job, yet not being paid for it.
I really appreciate you saying that, because it was a thing that I had to get my head around. I see it now. I really do see it, because I see, you know, I know I'm biased, but I do see that I have a wonderful child, and I'm very, like, I am very proud at, you know, everything he does, except when he, you know, wants to do boxing with me and I'm not quite ready. It is rewarding in that sense, but a year in, it wasn't as rewarding, because he was only a year old and you're not getting that much back. But 2 years in, it's a completely, like, he's a mini human now that doesn't stop talking and conversing with you. So it is very rewarding, but I feel, if whoever's in this situation, or, you know, two working parent situations, that you're going to have to go through different things. But I think it took me and Jay, and more me, you know, that time to adjust to what our setup was. And there's a lot of talk in society about, like, you know, 50-50 parenting, and, you know, things should be equal. And that's fine if that works for you. But that isn't what works in our house, because it can't be 50-50 parenting, because Big J does 100% of providing. And he's more than happy to do that role. And while I wouldn't necessarily always choose to be a full-time mum, and I don't think I will always be a full-time mum, because I have too many other things that I want to do, but right now I accept that that's where I am, and I'm very happy to do that, and to know that I am moulding Master Jay, you know, 100% of the time.
And I've not asked this question, it's totally new. Do you feel like, now that you're a podcast host, inserted so that to your CV, do you still feel like you're just a full-time mum? Because technically this is work.
Yeah, this is. And I guess it will we'll see where it goes. You know, I think we're both, like, ambitious women, aren't we? And we both would love to see it take off. But it doesn't mean that it will.
Do you think if you bump into someone in a coffee shop and they said to you, like, oh, what do you do? Obviously, you want to tell everyone you're a mum.
Yeah.
Because actually that's what we all want to shout about. But do you think that
you
would feel comfortable being like, I'm a podcast host and that's my job, over like, I'm a mum and that's my job? You know what I mean? It's new and who knows where it will go. But if we be optimistic, in that whole concept of not working,
it's a good question.
Work because you're a podcast host. Do you know?
It's funny because I think in my head, I feel like working equals a salary, which is why I struggle to accept that being a full-time mum is a job, even though it very much is. But because I wasn't seeing a, you know, remuneration package, you know, I guess I didn't see it as a job. But now, yes, I do. So I guess in that same... I guess in that same way, I could say that, yeah, I'm a podcast host, I have a podcast, like, but I think I would feel more comfortable maybe after season one.
I know.
And, like, maybe when it's a bit established. But what it will give me, though, is something to talk about. Because I feel like sometimes as a full-time mum, and, like, especially if I'm around, like, Jay's friends or, you know, just people that have other things going on in their life. Sometimes I feel like I don't have anything to contribute to a conversation, and I'm like, oh, well, I'm just a mom, and but in my old life, before becoming a mom, I always had so much to say, and I'm like, oh, God, if you knew me before I had a before I was just a mom, like, I'm actually quite interesting, you know, but I don't really have anything to say to you right now, because all I've been doing is wiping shit off, you know, whatever, who's
we're
arse, and
six episodes
just my Charles,
and all she's done is talk about things, so I think you've got plenty to bring to the conversation, hun.
So, I guess, down the line, maybe, but that's definitely been a big adjustment, and I'm more, I guess the point is, I'm more comfortable with it now than I was, but there will always be a bit of a, you know, around finances, for me, being honest, like, I will always feel a bit awkward about 100% relying on, you know, somebody. I'm not going to go into, like, loads of details about it, but obviously, I'm a smart woman, like, I have, you know, levels of protection in place, and that will be different for different people, but it will always feel a bit funny for me, because I want to earn my own money, but this is my season, this is where I'm at, full-time
running. Smashing it.
But yeah, what about you, like, you know, changing the direction of the conversation slightly, you know, like, we've talked before around, and I'm obviously not at that point yet, but, like, having a second child, and, like, your thoughts around that and the taboos or maybe things that people said to you over that period of time, like, how do you feel about that?
I
and, like,
think
what do you
the taboo in this context
that?
Is the fact that having a second baby causes, in some scenarios, more bad than good, or more hurt than it's worth, more ag than it's worth. In some ways, I love my daughter. I love having two children. Let me just caveat that right here. But I was surprised in how negative people were about my choice to have another child. And that's not necessarily because I shouldn't have done it, but I found a lot of the time telling people either said, like, okay, I didn't know you could afford that. Oh, I didn't know that was on the cards for you. Know. I told somebody at my work, and she said, oh, you're going to be doing this every 2 years then? All right. Or someone else said, like, oh, is that all you do now? You used to do exercise, and now all you do is have babies. And some of my knee-jerk reaction, that's wild. And then I sat with it for a bit, and I was like, maybe this is, and I don't want this to sound harsh at all, but maybe this is, like, you reflecting on your life whilst analysing mine. So, like, the fact that, for example, you haven't had a second baby yet. So if I tell you I'm going to have a second baby, you might be like, oh, but I wanted one of those. Like, why haven't we got there yet? Or, oh, I thought about having one of those, but I decided against it. So part of it is, like, how does my success, in inverted commas, impact your journey? But partly, all of it was just, like, who invited your opinion to the table? Like, can't you just be like, congratulations and keep it moving, even if you think what I'm doing is wrong? Like, can't you just say, good job? You know?
Yeah, that's wild. And I remember, like, when we had a conversation around that, like, whenever, however many months ago this was now, when you were, like, you know, early pregnant. And I was like, girl, I don't understand what is, like, up with you, because you're being really funny. And I was like, I don't have a negative opinion about you having another baby. Like, I'm gassed for you. But obviously, in the backs of your mind, you're dealing with comments like that, which I can imagine then plays into your psyche and is just wholeheartedly wrong. I mean, I think it just comes down to that with anything, you know, when people are making comments about anything in life, it usually is a reflection of how they feel. It's not a you thing. It is a them thing. But I mean, the comments around affording them, that is wild to me. Like, how dare people say, can you afford it? Or I didn't know you could afford it. What is affording a child in this life anyway? Like, I'm not being funny.
Who is ever financially ready to have a baby? No, like, so, no disrespect, but to the people that say, oh, I'm not going to have a baby yet till I'm financially ready, like, when are you ever? When are you ever financially ready to do anything? Like, you kind of just have to take a jump and cut back on things or increase things or, like, go to the pub less or drink one pint less. Like, we all have to make sacrifices to do anything, new car, new house, new trainers. And so to question my affordability to have a baby, I just thought was so weird.
Yeah, as an adult, I mean, like, it's different if you're, you know, maybe having a teenage pregnancy and you don't, and you really, really don't have anything. Do you know what I mean? Of course. But, yeah, in your adult life, like, I think you just make it, you do just make it,
it
work,
was just
don't
wild.
You?
I think I also spoke to a lot of other mums about it, you included, but I spoke to a lot of second-time mums because I honestly felt, and people that listen to this might not even know I have a second child. Of course, they'll know from hearing, like, episode one and stuff, but there are some people that probably don't know I have two children, and that's because the second time around I didn't shout about it as much, rather sadly, because I just felt like my success in having a success in vertical in having a baby actually was more hurtful, that I just didn't want to talk about it anymore. Like, I got to the point where I was like, I just want to take the bump off and park it for a minute, because it's actually upsetting people, and I'm a massive empath, I'm a Cancerian, so I feel everybody's emotions, and I didn't want to upset anyone or you, but now you're here, you're the best. Woohoo! So yeah, my message to anybody that's planning a second one or having a second one or has just is navigating, like, the pregnancy of number two, if you're feeling like that choice to make number two is impacting other people, like, sod it. Number two is fantastic, whether you chose to have them 3 months after having your first one, 9 months after having your first one, 3 years after having your first one. Like, your timeline is your timeline, and whatever choices you make, like, champion yourself, because who cares what Julie from the corner shop thinks? I don't.
Julie features a lot in your chat.
Julie's my name
she,
for, like, anything that's upsetting me, or if something's not going right, like, regularly I'm like, oh, for God's sake, Julie, or, like, come on, Julie. And Cameron often says to me, like, who's Julie? And I'm like, Julie's just the voice in my head that never gets things right. Like,
oh, no offense to any of our Julie listeners. Yeah, I do think I do think that's sad. Like, do you feel then that people in general, obviously this is a bit of a leading question, but do you then, from what you've said, I'm kind of like hearing that you feel people are less excited. People are less excited about baby number two, you know?
They're less elated, because I feel like the first time round, it's like new and exciting, and you can't say anything else but, oh my God, congratulations, like, I'm so excited for you. And then you hang around to see, like, what they're going to call it, because you're really fascinated, and it's like new and exciting. And then second time around, you're like, you've done that before. Like, I definitely didn't have as many, like, visitors second time round, or as many, like, cards, or as many congratulations. Not that I needed any of these things, but just in terms of us talking about the difference in things and reflecting, I definitely think that the second time round feels a little bit more like your second trip to Tesco rather than your second holiday, rather than, like, this is the first time I'm going on a plane, it's new and exciting and whoa. It's just very much like, less
shiny.
That's the word I'm looking for. It's way less shiny, and that doesn't mean everybody's experience is like that, but me being honest is how
yours.
I felt. And did it impact my pregnancy in any way? Not really. It just made me appreciate, like, the choice I made more. Did it make me feel more like questioning my decision and question, like, whether I'd made the right choice? In some ways, yeah, but in some ways I only had another baby for myself and for Roman and for Cameron. I didn't have it for anybody else, so I can't, and I'm the one that's going to look after
it. Of course not.
So I look like a pet. So I just thought, after a while, I just thought, yeah, well, oh well, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you've got to do what's right for you.
Okay, so for anybody listening that is in that whole motherhood taboo. I'm thinking about becoming, quote unquote, just a mum. Do you have any tips yeah. for them, or any, like, you've had quite a reflective journey switching from career girly to just a mum, in inverted commas. What advice would you give to anybody yeah. that's about to make that decision or is toying with that idea?
I feel like it's very much like an individual mm-hmm. path. And it is obviously very easy to compare, yeah. like anything. I mean, when you have a child, like, you end up comparing everything and anything with your mum, friends, even in like a non-compare-y yeah. way, you still compare because none of you know what you're doing, right? So, especially as a first-time mum. So, yeah, I would just be like, just remind yourself it's an individual journey and it isn't something that's necessarily always going to feel yeah. comfortable. You kind of got to figure it out, what's best for you and your family. Like, I've referred to the whole, you know, society puts a lot out there now about, like, yeah, parenting should be 50-50, but, like, fine, maybe, yeah, when you're both working and you're both parenting and things like that, maybe that yeah. is how it should be. I don't know. I'm not in that position. I can't tell you. But in my position, in my situation that I've talked about today, I just think it's very much what works yeah. for you, and not expecting to maybe necessarily yeah feel comfortable about it all the time. It's a bit of like a conversation that evolves, and thankfully I had Jay and he was very supportive, and he knew I wasn't just someone that's like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna be a full-time mum now and I'm just yeah. gonna live off you. Like, he knew that yeah. was not the case. I don't know why I even thought that would be the case, but I didn't want him to think that, you know. So I think yeah, my advice is just really kind of have those conversations and figure it out, like, together. You're not, you know, if you are in a relationship yeah. with someone, obviously. And that's a choice you deem is best for your family.
No, that makes sense. I think to summarise, like, in the growth of becoming a mum, you're going to grow in different ways, and you should own that growth, whether it's slow, fast, or anything in between, you know. Like, yeah. your child will roll, they will walk, they will talk. You will feel you again. You will yeah. earn money again. You will not earn money again. And that's your choice, and you'll become happy with that. And, you know, you just have to respect your yeah. journey and your growth and own it. And if any Julies come into your life, tell them to go away. Yeah.
feel so sorry for
I'm
all
sorry
Julies.
To anybody that's called Julie. Sorry.
I know. But yeah, what about you then? So, as obviously, I'm listening to what you've had to say as someone that's like, decided now that we are going to have another baby, and, like, you know, trying for another baby. And it kind of makes me a bit sad to think that people won't be as excited or might not be. I know you've been very clear about that, like, that was your experience and that might not be my experience, but I'm like, no, I want to, like, really shout about it when I have another baby.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, what would you say to people in terms of how to, I guess, a deal with that if it does happen in the same way?
I think it comes back to what you just said about owning your choice. Own the choice that you decided to have
yeah.
baby number 2, 3, 4, 5 Fair. And own the fact that, okay, yeah, sometimes people might not be excited about it, but that doesn't mean you can't be. If I tell you something and you're like,
yeah,
cool, that doesn't have to dampen my, like, dampen my sparkle or whatever that saying is. Like, just be excited. Jay will be excited. Master Jay will be excited. And anybody else that wants to be excited for you will be. And
yeah.
just because people aren't, like, skipping straight to your front door doesn't mean they're not excited. It might just be that actually they're going through something or they're navigating something, and that timing of your joy doesn't always, like, land at the same time as other people. So, yeah, just look forward to it in the same way you would.
Do you?
And if it's not all, like, received in the way you want it to be, that's just life, right? You know?
Yeah. 100%.
But I'm excited for you.
I feel like
caveat,
we could...
I'm buzzing. Like, come
yeah.
on. I can't wait for a, like, Thanks. Baby number 2 trying journey episode, because I know you didn't try last time. So I'm so up for, like, how you found trying and then the navigation of that when you get to that point.
Maybe once we've named a baby, then we can talk about that journey. It's definitely interesting. It is definitely interesting. But yeah, we'll get to that. But anyway, I feel like we've had, like, you know, two quite different conversations today. I hope it's been, like, interesting for people. Just to hear a couple of things. I mean, it's a wild ride. It's
buckle
a wild
your seatbelt.
Whether or not you think it is or other people put that expectation on you, but yeah. But yeah, thanks for the conversation.
So if you have done the washing up today whilst you've listened to us, I hope that you finished it. If you've listened to us while sitting in the bath and chilling, I hope you've enjoyed your 5 minutes of peace, or maybe you've had 2 minutes of peace because all the toddlers have come in and now are also in your bath with you, because who has peace when you're a parent? And if you've just listened to us whilst nosing around the park or just, you know, going on a little stroll to clear your head, hopefully we have helped you de-stress and maybe taught you something new or helped you make a decision that you didn't know you needed us to help you make.
Help you with, yeah. Yeah, we love that. And just a lovely reminder then, everyone, please do give us a follow and maybe even rate it. If you think we deserve a rating, which I feel like we deserve,
rate us.
Please give us a little rating. I'm really asking for it, but no, it would, we'd greatly appreciate it. And also it just really helps us grow this new little mini podcast baby that we've created. So yeah, if you're enjoying the ride, please help us along and keep us going. So yeah, thanks so much for listening, guys. And we'll see you next week. All right.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.